Hello, and welcome to the Language of God. My name is Stefan Dela Cruz, and I am the Friend of God. On today's podcast, I introduce a new series called The Nine Gifts, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In this series, I will be briefly touching on the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 11. These gifts' abilities come with supernatural power and authority. And I will address why they have been given to us and how they should be used, both in the spiritual application and the practical application. As Christians, we exist in two worlds, this natural world and the spiritual world. We exist and occupy the same place in time, the natural and the spiritual, existing together in both realities at the very same moment. Now, we are all familiar with this natural world and the reality of this existence around us. It's the spiritual world that is a mystery to many of us, and how to exist in that reality, how to bring both realities, the spiritual and the natural, together and exist in harmony, moving back and forth between the natural and the spiritual. We have the ability to exist in both realities at the same time, moving back and forth as needed to fulfill our destiny, our calling. It's just that we haven't been taught how to do this. And some people shy away from the spiritual because it's such a mystery. And those that are spiritual shy away from the practical, the natural things, because it's so secular. In Scripture, the Apostle James speaks to these two realities. He does it this way. The Apostle James calls the spiritual reality living by faith. He calls the natural reality living by works, also known as deeds. He explains that we cannot be complete if we live in only one of these realities. If we choose to only live in one reality, then we die to the purpose of our true existence. So if you're a person who only believes in interpreting the scripture from a practical view, and you ignore the spiritual side of it, according to James chapter 2, verse 14 and on, then you are only living half of your potential. But on the other hand, if you're a spiritual person, view the Bible from a spiritual ideal, and you ignore the practical side of it, James says the same thing there to you. He says, hey, you're only living half of your potential. Now, here is how James explains these two realities. James chapter 2, verse 14, and going forward. What good is it if someone claims to have faith but have no deeds, no works? Verse 15. Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you say to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but you do nothing about their physical need, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, works, is dead. Did you hear that? That's in verse 17. So being spiritual or living by faith without works is dead. This is what Scripture is saying. So there has to be a balance here. If you're going to live the practical life, you have to have the spiritual engaged. If you're going to live the spiritual life, you have to have the practical life engaged. Now, verse 18. But someone will say, I live by faith, by the Spirit, and you can see how God has blessed me. Or another says, hey, I live by my works. You have faith, I have works. So there's that argument that we see even to this day. One side says, hey, I live by faith and God provides for me everything I need. The other side lives a practical life, getting up every day and going to work and doing everything that needs to be done. Now, I would just want you to understand that both sides are correct. What is missing for us as Christians is that both sides in you need to be one. You can't have just a practical life with no faith, and you can't have faith with no practical life, no getting up and going to work and engaging in the secular world. You are not complete. Continuing in verse 18. Now I say to this person, show me your faith without deeds, without works, and I will show you my faith by my deeds, by my works. Haven't you yet understood that you cannot live by faith without works, and that you cannot live a practical life without faith? Verse 20, you foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without works is useless? In the same manner that works without faith is also useless. Now he goes on, James continues here. Then listen and gain wisdom and knowledge. Verse 21. Was not Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar, which is a work? Verse 22. You see that his faith and his actions or works were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did, works. Verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God. So there's Abraham's faith because he believed God. And it was credited to him as righteousness because of his works. And he was called God's friend. Verse 24. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, works, your works, and not by faith alone. So for those of you who live by faith, walk in faith, without physical works in this natural life, your faith, according to this scripture here by James, is dead. On the other side of that, for those of you who are living a practical life and setting aside the spiritual for now because it might be just too strange for you, well, your life, your practical life, your works, your deeds, without faith, is also dead. Now, verse 26, as this physical body without the spirit of life is dead, so faith without works is dead. But what else is missing here? The works. So this is very important because a lot of Christians today have been taught and are being taught that, you know, you can't get into heaven by your works. And that's a true statement. But let me add something to that for you. You can't be complete as a Christian without works. You can have all the faith that you want and you can imagine, but without applying that faith, which is called work, it's empty, it's dead. So you have to work. So I just want to bring that out. So as Christians, you must have faith and works existing in your life, working together. And in this series, my hope is that I am able to lay a foundation for you to learn how to take your practical life and your spiritual life and bring them together so that you can walk a fulfilled life. What I will be talking about in this series is the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit that are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to share with you how they work, how they can be used, and how you can receive them. Now, because this is such a large teaching, this is going to be set over several podcasts, and I may just set a specific place on the website for those that are interested that can go in there and begin to listen to those podcasts. But for now, here, I'm just going to briefly touch on each gift, its purpose, and how it is applied to us. So As we continue here, my hope is that you will find in this series how to connect your faith and your works together so that they exist together in you. You can't have one without the other. You can't operate at your full potential by only existing in the natural, the practical world. And you can't operate at your full potential existing only in the spiritual world, where you set yourself aside and just prayer and fasting, and you leave the secular world. You stop working around secular people simply because they swear too much or they have wicked lifestyles, or you see what's going on in the world, and you just say, nope, this is not for me. I'm just going to set myself aside and just do prayer and fasting. That isn't going to work for you without the other side. You see, God has made us creatures of this world, this natural world. So there are practical things that we must do every single day as we live. But we are also spiritual because we are made in the image of God. And so there are things that we must also do in the spiritual realm. You see, they work together. So it's time you learn how to use them both in your life. So let's take a look at what happened to the spiritual existence that we see in Scripture and why it disappeared over the decades to where we are now. We see some, but we usually look at it and it looks strange to us. But for the most part, most Christians, most churches now teach and preach a practical life, a natural life. And the spiritual is there, but it's one of those things that many Christians, if you haven't noticed, will say, well, that's for those ministers, for the prophets and for the pastors and the teachers. But that would be a wrong thinking, because it's actually for you. So what happened to the spiritual existence, and why have we accepted living only by works? Well, most of us, you know, living by works, and what I mean by that is the things that we can see, touch, and feel. Today, we call those works, those physical things that we can see, touch, and feel, today we call that being practical. And a definition for a practical existence, a practical life, is it's simply put, it's a method effective in real circumstances. So if you can remember that, a practical life is a method effective in real circumstances. So there's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and so on. There's an A, B, C, D that you can follow that is effective in your real world. But I'd like to share a secret with you, and maybe for most of you this isn't a secret, but for some of you this might be an eye-opener. There is a method for living in the spiritual realm, for working in the spiritual realm. So I am hoping that as we continue in this teaching, that you will learn both methods, not just the practical one that you already live, but the spiritual one, and you're able to bring them together. So, what happened to the spiritual existence? And why have we accepted living only by works, which today we call practical, living practical, interpreting Scripture from a practical understanding? Over time, believers in Jesus have moved away from knowing God in the supernatural. And it may be because these first believers were living completely in the supernatural and had shed the natural existence, the practical existence. To them, everything was spiritual. They threw off the natural existence, including working in the secular world. Like many Christians today, they pull away from working in the secular world. Reasons may be they swear too much. Their lifestyle is offensive to them. They're just not godly people. And so they quit their jobs and their positions, and they move away, they step away from the secular world and from the practical lifestyle and cling to the spiritual lifestyle, living by faith, walking in faith, not realizing that when they left that position open, now sinful men and women step into that position. Now they can make changes in the practical life, in the natural world. They can change the laws that exist. They can hire who they want and fire who they want. Because these people that are only spiritual left that position. So to these spiritual people, to them, everything is about the spirit. So these spiritual people may have thrown off the natural existence, including, once again, working in the secular world. Which I believe, when these spiritual believers left their positions to be more spiritual, they opened the doors for the unbeliever to move into the abandoned job or position, and these unbelievers began to change laws and make new laws because there was no one there to hold them back. I believe this is one of the reasons we are in the mess we are in right now in the world, all over the world, wherever you may be listening to this teaching. You have seen the changes in your country, in your nation, over the decades, because Christians have stepped away from holding and staying in positions of leadership that they have been given, or simply just staying where God has placed you. If you get a chance, stop by my website and listen to my podcast called Pinch of Salt. In this podcast, I address this more in detail. So what has happened over the years to the church is this, and this is as a whole, this is as a whole body, all the denominations of the church world. We have moved away from a spiritual existence to a practical existence. And that practical existence, if you remember, is always, it's a method that works in this reality. So it's stepping, going from step 1 to 10, going from A to Z. So we moved into this type of existence, practical existence. Now, it may have been out of fear that the church as a whole shifted. It may be a lack of understanding, it may be a lack of faith, or even a lack of passion to know God deeper. So this shift moved from a spiritual existence on one side, all the way over to the other side of living a practical life. Now, back to the spiritual side, living spiritual or living a practical life. As I am sharing with you in this podcast and the podcast to come, my hope, once again, is that you'll learn that both are needed. And as I shared with you in James chapter 2, verse 14 and on, you know, even James said you can't live a practical life only without the spiritual and think that you're going to be successful. And you can't live a spiritual life without the practical life and think you're going to be successful. Because without the other side of you, you're dead. And this is what James says in chapter 2, verse 14 and on. Now, a large portion of the believers stay away from knowing more of the spiritual side of their existence, their personal walk with God. I'm asking you, would you like to know more of your spiritual side of existence? And I'm asking those of you who are on the spiritual side, would you like to know more of the practical life of your existence? Now, I speak here specifically when I'm talking about the spiritual side and the spiritual life. What I'm speaking here specifically is the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We have lost something and we are not complete. If you are only living in the natural, the practical, I want you to know it's not enough. And if you are living in the spiritual and living by faith, with no works, I want you to know that it is not enough. If you have no works, and I'm talking to those who live by faith, by the Spirit, I want you to know if you have no works, and all you do is pray and fast, and you wait for God to move according to your prayers, I want you to know that you're going to run into some issues. And those are that you have removed yourself from the secular world where God can literally use you. Just like he did with Daniel. Did you know that Daniel lived in a secular world? He was surrounded by people who had different lifestyles. He was surrounded by people who worshiped other gods. He was surrounded by people who did not like him or his religion. Yet, you know what Daniel did? He stayed faithful in that secular job that was given to him by God, and he ministered there, and he lived his spiritual life at that job. And God showed him, the Holy Spirit showed him how to live both in the spirit and in the natural. So I want you that are living by faith, walking by the Spirit, to understand that the everyday secular life, or as I call it, work, is part of your existence. So if you're looking to break free and say, oh, I don't want to do this, then you need to look at Daniel. You might even want to go over and look at Joseph in Scripture and see what happened to him. They changed his name. He lived once again in a world, a secular world, where they worship other gods. They had different lifestyles. They would swear and cuss and all kinds of profanity and sexual behavior. He was among it. He had to be there because he was second in command. God had raised him to the place where in his life he had become second under Pharaoh. And so when parties were thrown, banquets were thrown, guess what? Joseph had to be there. So the question I have for you that are spiritual, could you do that? Could you walk and work and live in the secular world if God called you to that and say, hey, I need you here. I need you to be faithful. I need you to stay. I need you not to quit, because here is where you will make a difference. Now, this generation reads and teaches the Bible to bring out the practical applications that are found in Scripture. So once again, I'm going to go back to the practical side. Another way of saying this is a method effective in real circumstances. So living a practical life is a method effective in real circumstances. We have learned to apply these practical teachings to our everyday life, but we have lost the ability to apply the supernatural to our everyday lives. We read the Bible without any understanding that the words are not just for practical use, but they are also for powerful spiritual use. So we live a life incomplete. The words in Scripture are filled with power and authority to use in your everyday life, bringing together the practical, the physical with the spiritual, the supernatural, bringing faith and works together. We have forgotten that the words found in Scripture can create life and change destinies, change your destiny. They can raise the dead, they can heal the sick, and change the course of history. We have settled for the practical life. For example, something very practical. How can the Bible help me pay my bills and be a good person today? There are books and books and books written on how that can be done. And all this is good. But I want you to know there is more than just the practical side of Scripture. We no longer desire to know God in the supernatural or in the spiritual. We only want to know God in the practical. Those who choose to know God in the spirit, we consider them strange, you know, the supernatural. We think of them as weird. We want nothing to do with them. Many times we just distance ourselves from them and don't acknowledge them as followers of Jesus. Or maybe we call them a fringe or a cult because they're not living a practical life as we are. They're living way out there to the edge. And I have to say something too to those people who are living that spiritual life way out on the edge. You know, you look at the Christians that are living a practical life and you think, well, look, they're not really living for God because they're not living by faith. Everything they do is works. But that would only be half truth, because you're way out here and you don't have any works. They're way over there and they don't have any spiritual faith. So what needs to happen here, people? All of us, including myself, we all need to come towards the middle and become balanced. We need to have that practical existence. We need to have that spiritual existence. And here's what's interesting, is that while the followers of Jesus, and that's all of us here, all over the world, have moved away from knowing God in the supernatural, the people of this world, the unbelievers, have moved towards knowing more of the supernatural. Have you noticed that? Well, let me point a couple things out for you. You can see today in our movies, our music, in our books, in our stories and songs of everyday humans, being gifted with supernatural powers to save the world, and yes, even the universe. Many of you already know what I'm talking about. These superheroes, with their great power and abilities, go around doing great deeds and miracles. These fictional superheroes have powers that come from fictional means, such as super science, alien technology, radiation experiments that have gone wrong. Some of these superheroes are straight out of witchcraft, and they are not ashamed of it. Others are looking for aliens from other planets to come and save them and bring them the answers to life and their existence. Yet the people of this world are not ashamed of these beliefs, these superheroes they have made up. And believe me, they've made them up. They don't exist. But these people that have embraced all these different superheroes and beliefs, they do not distance themselves from them, but they embrace them and they lift them up as heroes, as anything is possible, and we can do this. In fact, they go to the point of dressing themselves up in costumes, just like their characters, and embrace their heroes by gathering together at these large places, and they all role play with one another. But listen to this. If you speak or even mention the power of God or the power of the Holy Spirit, you are considered crazy, strange and weird, and nobody wants to be around you. That's like way out there. And that's not just by the world, but even Christians within the church say these things and think these things of people who even mention that there is power in the Holy Spirit. Few ever speak of the supernatural powers that come from the nine gifts of the Spirit of God, because that is too strange and too weird to even mention. That's embarrassing. How can you say that to unbelievers? That's crazy. How can you talk that the Spirit of God gives us gifts that have powers like the ability to heal the sick? That's ridiculous. What about the ability to know the future? Oh no, not in the church. You can't do that. Or the ability to do miracles. No. These powers are too weird for us to have. It's just embarrassing for us to even think like that. But let me remind you of something. A lot of Christians in the church, with the people in the world, they are more comfortable with zombies, vampires, witches, werewolves, aliens. They are more comfortable with robots and androids and so on. But spiritual powers in Scripture that the Holy Spirit has given you? No. That's too weird. That's too embarrassing. That's crazy. As they put on their costume and dress up as their favorite superhero and head out the door to meet up with other people and imagine and believe that this is possible. We have to prepare for zombies. We have to prepare for aliens or robot invasion or werewolves or vampires. But the spiritual side of Scripture? No. Don't go there. That's crazy. That's where all the crazies are. Yeah, well, let me tell you, every year all around the world, there are large gatherings of a lot of crazy people all dressed up in makeup and costumes. Yet, they're not ashamed to do it. But you and I, are we ashamed of using the powerful scriptures, the powerful gifts that God has given us to talk about them, to learn about them? There are millions of people around the world that desire to know more of the supernatural. Now, the stories that these movies and books and songs that they have shared throughout the world, and many of us have seen, all of us, including myself, none of it is real. It's all made up. It's a fantasy. But the world is eating it up as if it were possible. The desire to know the supernatural, to know the spiritual, drives them to create worlds for themselves, to dress up in costumes, and to live in these made-up worlds. They encourage one another, and they continue to say, this is all possible, it's all possible. While the people of God in the church continue to ignore the powerful gifts and authority they have been given, instead choosing to do only practical things and living a practical life. And you who are spiritual, you have detached yourself from the secular world so you can no longer affect them simply by living a life in front of them of power and authority. In this series, Nine Gifts, I will be briefly touching on the nine gifts and their purpose. I will be teaching on the spiritual existence and what is possible, what is flesh, what is spirit, and how to work in both realities. I will address, can what is spirit affect this natural existence? And can what is natural affect what is spirit? I will help lay a foundation that you can build on and begin to use the nine gifts in your life. Now, as I teach this series, I will be also teaching the language of God and how it will become the foundation you will build on. My hope is that as we learn the language of God, we will understand how it works in this physical, this natural existence, and how the language of God works in our spiritual existence. Here is a small example of how powerful the language of God is. By His word, the universe was created. The stars, planets, galaxies. John chapter 1, verse 1. By His word, time and this reality was formed. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. By His word, He set the gravitational forces in place to hold back the oceans and separate the land. Proverbs 8, 29. This is just a small example of the language of God. Now imagine if you spoke that language, God's language, the language of God, what you could do. His words are what I call the language of God. Thank you for joining me. I hope this podcast has been a blessing in your life. Join me on my next podcast as I continue with part two of the nine gifts. In this next podcast, I will briefly touch on each of the nine gifts found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with one person this week. Encourage others to listen to the nine gifts. If you have any comments, you can connect with me at Facebook or by email. You can find this information at my website, thelanguageofgod.net. When contacting me, please include the podcast title you are commenting on. Also, coming soon with this series, The Nine Gifts, I will have a more detailed teaching of each gift, how to receive it, how to use it, and how to walk in that gift in your everyday life. Now, go and enjoy life. I encourage you to live, break free of the things holding you back, and live. Shake off the chains that hold you down. Rise up, dust yourself off, and get back into the race. If you thirst for life, come and drink from the river of life and live again. I invite you to drink from the river of life and live again. Have a great day, and remember, you are not alone.